In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Text for our sermon this morning is the second lesson for today, recorded in the first epistle of John, reading in the third chapter, beginning at verse 18. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command: to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. This is the word of our God. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. God loves you. Simple statement we're all familiar with and we all believe. But how do we know what that love is? Does that mean that God has simply an attitude of love in His heart? Does it mean that those three little words roll off of God's tongue if He had one? How do we know what love is? The Apostle John tells us that Jesus loved us and shows us that love is an action of God. Just before the beginning of our reading for today, John writes, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ, His Son, laid down His life for us." There at the cross, we discover how God loves us. At the cross of Jesus Christ, we come to know that love is not merely an attitude. It isn't something that just rolls off the tongue without any thought. Love is action. This love of action in Jesus is that He died on the cross for us. And in that action that is love, you and I have security before God when our hearts condemn us. And it is from that base of operations, we might say, that security in God's love that we live the sanctified life of Christian love. That is, we also love others. Security is huge these days. Been to the airport lately? How many newspaper ads and television ads are there touting computer security? Security for your identity. A security system for your house or for your business. The message, of course, of all these needed security measures is that things are not as they should be. And without them, everything is going to come to nothing. Nowhere is that more true than the Apostle John writes, whenever our hearts condemn us. Why do our hearts condemn us? Because we know what God's will is and we don't do it. John says, this is God's command: to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. Those who do not trust in Jesus Christ at all try to find security against their condemning heart in the voice of their consciences, in their unbelief, by kidding themselves in denying that God even exists, or that if he does exist, he's never really going to ask us to give an account for ourselves. Unbelievers try to find security by melding what God says, and if it's true, with my own actions, with my own work of righteousness on my part. But unbelievers' hearts condemn them in their unbelief. Now, as believers, our hearts also condemn us because we know God's promises, but we doubt them. Oh, we've experienced God's goodness, but we question it. We live every day of our lives in the abundant hands of God's promises and his providence. And yet we fear that he's not going to take care of us. Our hearts are accurate and true and just judges when our hearts condemn us. When the conscience says of us, as we consider our failure to believe as we should, our failure to love as God commands us, guilty as charged. Dear children, we need security measures for when our hearts condemn us. And we have that security because God has demonstrated his love for us in Christ. Jesus Christ's love is that he laid down his life for us. That is the source, the power of our security. God is greater than our heart and knows everything. God knows when we don't believe like we should. God knows when we don't love as commanded. He knows our anger. He knows our resentment. He knows our pride that lies deep, and sometimes not so deep, in our hearts and in our personalities. We need security against those failings and sins. Satan tries to charge us of doing evil so that God will forsake us. Satan argues with God that you and I should have a share in his condemnation. We need security when our heart condemns us, and I foolishly think or say, I know God's forgiven me, but I just can't forgive myself. God's greater than our heart. My heart might not forgive me, but God has forgiven me. God knows my sins. He knows my sinful heart. But God is greater than my heart. When Satan comes accusing his elect, God's greater than Satan and his accusations and has justified us. When our hearts condemn us, God's greater than our hearts. His grace and mercy is more abundant, is more powerful than all of our sin. When our heart says, you're condemned, God says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I don't have to forgive myself for something that I've done in the past. God has already forgiven me. I can't forgive myself because I can't forgive sins that are no longer there because they've been washed away in my baptism. They've been washed away by the sacrifice that Jesus made when he laid down his life for me on the cross. Next time you look at a crucifix, that is a cross that has a corpus or the body of Christ hanging on it still, look down toward the foot of the cross. You'll find many crucifixes that have at the foot of Jesus' cross, either on the cross or on the ground, a skull. You ever notice that? And sometimes bones or even cross bones like a pirate flag. Those bones represent Adam. And you'll notice that the blood from Christ is running down the cross onto the top of that skull and onto those bones. And the meaning, of course, is that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered over Adam's sin, both in him and in us who have inherited it. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed away all the accusations of our guilty consciences, all the condemnations of our sinful heart, so that we have been restored to that right relationship with God. We have that security measure of Christ's blood as he demonstrates his love for the world. But from that love as our base, from that love that is now in our hearts, that love of Christ, that is the love that Christ has had for us, we now have the personal responsibility to love others. We now have the love of Christ for us that we now give to my neighbor, even when he has sinned against me. It is true that you and I do not fear, love, and trust God as we should, and we have disobeyed the first commandment. And it's true that we have disobeyed the second table of the law as well, because we have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. But from Jesus laying down his life for us, isn't that, as Christians, always our good intention? Isn't that our mindset? Isn't that what we always want to do and strive to do? Don't we recognize that as a personal, not choice, but it is our personal responsibility to love others because Christ laid down his life for us. Loving others does not give us security in the love of God for us. But God's love for us in Christ moves us to fulfill our responsibility of loving others. Paul addresses those readers and us as dear children. Literally, that term of endearment means little children. Paul's bringing us back to when Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me. Don't hinder them. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child doesn't receive it at all." And there Jesus is calling us, and Paul is calling us to a simple, childlike faith in that action of love that God has had for us. He later calls them dear friends. And the word literally means those who are loved, beloved, those who have experienced God's love. You and I have experienced that love of God. Well, this morning I'll add one more. God doesn't just say, dear children. God doesn't just address us as my beloved, but he says, dear those of you who are secure in the demonstration of my son whose love, who laid down his life for you, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. we receive from Him anything we ask, because we obey His commands and what pleases Him. The child of God is no hypocrite. The child of God does not say with his mouth and with his tongue to his neighbor, even his enemy, "Oh, I love you," even as he plans his revenge, even as his heart continues to seethe or desire evil or seek revenge or gloat, "I told you so." We don't love with just words, with just our tongues. We love in the truth of that love that Christ laid down His life for us. What a wonderful blessing you and I have to know that we belong to Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. To know that because of God's love, which we show when we love one another, that God will give us anything we ask. And that's because how do we always ask? "Not my will, but your will be done. Give me in your love what I need. And I will give that patience and that forgiveness and that understanding and that acceptance of my neighbor's sins and failings as you have accepted mine." To do that even as our sinful flesh is crying out with every ounce to do the other, to not forgive. I know I am a Christian, and others know I am a Christian by my actions of love for others. Not my false love, not my pretentious words, but by my actual love, not forced or fake. Those who obey His commands live in Him, and He in them. It's a little bit like a member of Bethlehem wearing a Bethlehem t-shirt or sweatshirt. A member of Bethlehem puts on a t-shirt or sweatshirt that says Bethlehem. Now those words, that word, tells me who's wearing it that I'm a member of that congregation. It tells other people I'm a member of Bethlehem congregation. Now, if you're a stranger and you come in the front door and you put on a Bethlehem sweatshirt or t-shirt, that doesn't make you a member of Bethlehem. That word Bethlehem on your chest doesn't mean anything, because who you are is not behind it. It's just a word. Our love for one another is not just a word. It's a declaration of who we are. It's a declaration of whose members we are, who we belong to, so that we know that we are Christians by our love, and the world knows we are Christians by our love. All the gift of the Spirit, this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. We know that action of love is our security, and we experience that action of love where it leads. It leads to our sanctified life of Christian love. Amen.